CBKRadioland.com. Man, I haven't said that in a long, long time. CBK, it's been a long time since we've done anything. I think COVID, I mean, you know, COVID wasn't that long ago, but it's just, it's crazy. We started doing this, a long time ago, and then we've known each other for a while. We've mentioned that many, many times, I think, on this, but man, it's pretty crazy, huh? I mean, let's see what we got. We're gonna dust off the microphones and we don't even wear headphones anymore because of technology. We'll just have to see. I see you got headphones in the background there on the clock. Maybe you can go grab them.
Pretty cool. That's from Rick. He made my old shop foreman, the old shop. Rick, we were from the bus days in Utah, man. So he sent me that. It's pretty cool.
So we'll see if I can put in. Yeah, exactly. We don't even have headphones anymore. So CBK, how you been, man? You're
trying to put the headphones on. Good. I'm good, man. It's really good to talk to you. I was just thinking the last time you and I filmed something, I was in Snohomish, you know, up north in WashDOT, and I was sitting in Bubbles LaRue's house, right? Because I was living with her at the time, and we were talking about, it's been so long since we did the radio thing and where I was and why I moved. Then I moved back to Utah. Anyway, now I'm in the middle of Oregon.
Yeah, Utah, Oregon, Washington, Utah, Oregon.
It's nuts. Totally nuts.
So, well, good to see you. I'm glad that you're alive and well, as they say. Now, you had a little bit of a medical issue that we were almost, you weren't alive. Well, I know you did a podcast yourself on this, on your thing, but tell us a little bit about what happened.
I still don't get it. It was so shocking. It's been, I think, 8 days, I think. I have emergency surgery, man, on my appendix. You know, what the world? I worked for the city of Albany, and I was full-time, and now I'm part-time, and they happened to just call me in on that Friday night. It was a late shift, and then I, at 10:30, I had this pain on my right lower abdomen for probably 2 days, so I wasn't exactly sure what it was, and I had worked at OSU, where I work now, the days prior, even that Friday, but I just felt this strange pain. I was putting my seatbelt on and off, getting out of the bus, you know, because you get out, because I want to get out of the seat. I'm driving all the time, you know, I want to stretch my legs or whatever, but it was kind of annoying me, and I talked to the GF, you know, and she was like, oh, maybe you should go. And I'm like, I was debating that whole 4 hour of the last of the day. I was like, should I go? Should I not go? You know, I said this all on the podcast. What do you do, man? TK, what do you do when you're not 100% sure what's going on with your body, but there's some pain, you know? And then I finally just, I walked in and did it. I went to the ER at 10:30 at night, and I knew it was going to be a long, long one, you know.
Crazy. You're good, but you're good now. They took your appendicitis, they took your appendix out, and now you're good.
Yeah, the appendix is like that little stinger thing, like at the end of your colon, right? That little weird, I don't even know what that thing is.
Yeah.
It's weird. And I guess it's about, I don't know, they said 3 inches or something, which seems kind of big to me, but I don't know. Yeah, it was just a random, I did it, and the doctor said, the ER doctor said, oh, good thing you came in, because when those things burst, it is not good, and it is fatal.
Well, we don't need that. We don't need anything fatal. No, we're good. We don't need anything of that. Well, good. I'm glad that you're not fatal.
I'm walking around the house a little bit. Went to the store. We went to lunch yesterday. So yeah, it's feeling okay. I do get to go back to work next Monday, so we'll see how that goes. It's been very weird sitting here in the space, you know, by yourself all day, all night, you know. So.
So yeah, so then we do, oh, let's do a podcast, or let's get some time. Let's kill stuff. You and I, like we've mentioned before, old radio guys started back. Well, you started in radio before me. I did it on the ship for fun, but radio and DJs and all that stuff, that stuff has kind of changed. And one of the things I think we're trying to do here is there are, I think, times where we forget about things in the past as to the things that have made radio music, whatever. I mean, radio's kind of dead now. Everybody just listens on their phone or, you know, they may even stop. I'm hearing that they're going to stop putting AM radios in cars now. They will not.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, which is so beyond me. You know, it's just,
So I guess an AM radio, we can go buy an AM radio station. They're probably going for cheap these days. So, so I just felt like this might be something that just kind of, you know, I don't care if people watch or listen or whatever, it doesn't matter. But like, just for us to talk, to kind of keep that, you know, whatever, I don't want to say alive, but just to remember how we got here and the things that have made, you know, us, you know, in society better in regards to music and in regards to just pop culture or whatever it might be. You know, it started somewhere, and you know, music has been around for many, many years, and it's just amazing to me how some of the music has evolved, but how some of it has stayed the same, or that stuff that was popular when we were kids are popular with the kids now. I mean, and I think about it in terms of, like, I just turned 50 a couple weeks ago, so
congratulations!
I'm in the 50s. So I think about, all right, well, when in the 80s is now 40 years ago, all right? So I look at it and I say 40 years ago, 1984. And I remember 1984. I could go and pull up all the hits and you'd be like, oh, yeah, bam, 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 bam. Now, remember 1984? Let's go back 40 years from that. That's 1944. And I'm like, so I can't even imagine in 1984 listening to stuff from 1944 and thinking it's good. But
right.
But kids today go back and listen to stuff from 1984 and think it's good. I mean, they like it. I mean, not all of it, but it's something about it. So it's just really interesting to look at that. And I just thought this would be, you know, to talk about this stuff. I think it's important.
Well, it's funny you say. I have a young lad, RTRG, we call him. He's he is 15 or 16, right? So when I was 16, like you said, in 1984, I was 14 years old. So it's just amazing how, music from the late 40s and the 30s has transitioned from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, right? I know that was one of the things you talked about in the topic thing, but it's hard to believe. I can't imagine myself back then thinking about it, of what I am doing today, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, like, just to go, today is February, whatever. So like the top song on February on the Billboard 100, in February 25th of 1984 was Jump by Van Halen.
Jump.
That's the number one song. And you hear that today. You hear that all the time. You hear that like on commercials and stuff like that. And like I said, can you imagine 1984 hearing something from 1944? In fact, there wasn't even a Billboard Top 100 in 1940. I can't even go back and tell you. It was probably like some sort of like orchestra or dinner view.
You know, swing, jazz, something was the top hit back then, right?
Right. It's just crazy to think about it like that.
So, and it is bizarre.
So anyway, so I just feel, well, I feel like that this is kind of something fun to do and just kind of remind people of, you know, where we're at. And one of the things, like I said, we're going to get into a bunch of different topics through these podcasts or video cast or whatever we do now. I've got all these sounders from back in the day where I just, some of them are fun, where you're like, on this radio show or TV show or
so on. And here it is gone to fruition, I guess, right?
Exactly. So
I haven't been listening since we talked, but you wanted to record some of the shows, and I really miss mixing. Like I was playing, you listen to the best day show, the best of, right? I use the DE as of in a lot of my typing and words, but all the mixes and I still miss it. You know, I don't have the studio set up. Like, I'm using a phone right now. Like, I think you said, oh, this is how it's going to be. I mean, back in 2009, I think when we originally started this podcast thing, before podcasts were a thing. Yeah. Right?
Dang. It was crazy. I mean, I thought that I knew that this podcasting or whatever you want to call it was going to explode. And I remember I told you, I said, you know, everyone's going to start using this phone thing for their music and for their entertainment. And they're going to just plug it into their car and it's going to play, and radio stations are going to start going away. And I was like, yeah, I think it's going to happen. And then sure enough, that's kind of where we're at. I mean, music has definitely changed. Like I mentioned before, like the DJ, and you know, the death of the DJ, you don't hear I guess you do have some shock jocks every once in a while. And you also do, they're all going to Sirius XM or like that, where they're being hired to do these old time radio shows. But even then, I mean, they're not getting tons of listeners. And most people just go to their phone, you know, make their own, they're their own DJ. They're there, except they don't have the jock to go, hey, it's 10 after 10 here on a sunny day in Los Angeles and stuff like that. They've kind of gotten rid of all that. And it's just music.
Yeah, that is the weird thing about what, there it goes. It finally turned on. the computer. There is none of that anymore. There's no, you know, I was thinking when you were talking about 1944, Alan Freed, I think, was one of the first disc jockeys of the 50s and all the payola thing and the scandals, where he was like, hey, I'll take some dough if you want to hear some platters, you know. you don't hear that anymore. And from Wolfman Jack and, you know, even to my idols, Machine Gun Kelly, he had to change his name. You know, when I was listening, because now he's a stupid alt rap kid. I think he just put his whole body like black tattoo or something. Anyway, wow. not that I keep up with those things, but it's amazing to me how I was involved. You were involved. From the ship side of things. And I just listened to Pat Cashman, who was on the 100.7 The Buzz. He does the podcast with Lisa Foster and his old cohort, the Canadian guy, just died. So they did a whole podcast about him. And it's just the old days, the old ways, makes me think of what it was and what we did, what I tried to do. You know, especially in Hawaii,
right?
You know, to have that. I don't know I guess it was success. Sure, it was my success, and I missed it. And then we, you know, I got back involved with you. And then we got to do our own little station thing for, I think it was running for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, we ran for about 3 years. Yeah, I missed that too. Actually,
I do. I think about it, Tim Kuda, all the time about having the station on, you know, because I have this little radio here. I mean, it's little. I don't know. You can, I'll bring it up to the camera and see this.
Oh, yeah.
It has a cassette tape, right?
Oh, wow. That's so like, no. Wow, cassettes.
Yeah, and I have, this is from, you know what ship that's from, right?
Ah.
This is Armed Forces Radio, the television, from Sunday, August 3rd, 1997.
Yes. Is that you?
It's our old, it's the old Cruise FM.
Cruise FM.
So I don't have tons of tapes in this closet behind. And I've been listening to them, and it's fun to listen to. It's weird. My voice was weirder.
Yeah, I took, my cassette tapes. This is a while back. I took my cassette tapes and turned them into, I put them on a CD. So that way
tape
goes bad. And then I took the CDs even like a while, not as far back, and made them digital. So I've got it somewhere in my digital library. I can go back and pull the clips. It was funny because what I did is when I was editing it, I just took the me talking. Like I just took out the music because I was like, well, I don't need the crappy version of, Paul Abdul's, Opposites Attract or something, whatever it was. And so I'm like, I can just, take that out just so I have the audio to listen to. And you've done that before too. I've known that like you'll go, some of the stuff that you've sent me is some of this from your older stuff that you've done. You'll go from track to track to track, and the music will fade out, then it'll fade back in at the end of the song, and then it's CBK. And then, that's kind of cool too.
Yeah. It's a classic air check. And even with doing voice work that I was doing, and now that's changed. Now it used to be you sent a cassette into CBS FM, right? And see if you get your name picked to be a disc jockey or something. Or a voice job. Now it's all MP3. It's all computer. There's individuals who do it. There's voice people, which is just crazy. They're teaching other voice people. It's like, what?
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a huge industry. But it's a very, it's one of those industries that's just hard to get into. Because when you get into, it's like you got to find your lane. And then you've got to, it's like once they find that person, they go back to that voice. It's like there's only like X 100, whatever number it is of voices, and they tend, once you get established, kind of like actors, once you get you're an actor and you're a big name actor, you tend to get a lot more scripts offered to you just because your popularity. The same with voice acting. If you got to get in, and until you get in, it's really hard to break through that barrier to be one of those voice actors, because then they tend to, the studios and the gamers, the game companies or whoever needs the voiceover, they go to their list of established voice people. So yeah, I know that's a really tough gig.
Yeah, it just amazes me how many thousands, just like podcasts, how many thousands of podcasts are out there? How many thousands of voice people from New York to Florida to Texas to Hawaii, where it's amazing,
Yeah, I wanted to change the name of this to the Bazillionth Podcast, because there's a bazillion of them.
Right. And I'm just shocked from when 2009, when we started this, audio form, there was no video, right? Or maybe it was just starting out, kind of.
Yeah.
From today, and people even go on vacation. And they're doing a voice job. Oh, I got this call. I got to check my email. And I'm doing a voice. And they put a little blanket over their head or a pillow or something. And then they do this, recording and send it to these companies or their people. And
they don't have it anymore. Believe it or not, the phone microphone is actually pretty decent. And I'm getting you. You're on your phone. I'm getting you well. I could take it, and I could take your voice. I'll scrub it through AI, and you'll think you were in a studio. You would not.
Yeah, the difference. I am super shocked to hear you say that.
Yeah. Well, I know we talked about this like offline, but when I scrub this through AI, you'll be like, what? You'll be like, you would think you're back in your hut. The one that you had in Salt Lake, where you had like the hut.
Yeah, in the cave. And you were there, right? You came
there.
Came on an anniversary, birthday. I think it was your birthday. I don't remember. It might have been February. Now that I think
it was right after my birthday. Yeah, I came and, I came to the Salty Lake.
And I gave you a cake and all of that.
Yes, you did. Sure did. Yeah.
That's the cool thing about Facebook is I'm in certain groups like the disc jockey groups or this the 70s group, and it shows, oh, this 3,000 watt radio station on this little hill in New Mexico is, you know, it's still here, still running, and it's, you know, it's not a big, large market. It's not LA or New York or something, but it's just amazing what those memories bring back, right? And to see it and to think about that we did it and we were good. We were good, Jim, at what we did back then. You know?
Yeah, we were. And, you know, we talk about, like I said, the death of the disc jockey. You mentioned, you know, like Wolf Ben Jack and like some of the, like the big time, old time disc jockeys. We're talking from like the 60s. They were the person who determined whether or not you were successful as a band or a group or an artist a lot of times, because
absolutely
they're the ones, they were the celebrities, they're the ones that everybody knew, because, you know, TV didn't have cable, so there wasn't 1,000 channels, and people listened to the radio way more often than they did, and you would listen to the music, and if you know, jock one or two, whatever, in whatever town, you'd have to hand them your 45, and they would have to decide, and the record execs would push these guys, because once they played it on the radio, I mean, there was a movie that Tom Hanks was in, That Thing You Do. He mm-hmm. produced that. It was about the Wonders, a fictitious group from the 60s that had a one-hit wonder.
Yep.
But it was interesting how it showed how they're like, you got to play this. And then we're on the radio. Like when you're on the radio, if you got a song on the radio, it was like, holy crap. You know, you were like, you made it. But you couldn't get it on the radio unless the DJ, because the program directors didn't even have as much say. It was the DJ. They could put whatever record they wanted to play. So that was a big part of whether you were successful or not, if you can get in with that DJ.
It's not only that, too. Perfect example would be around 1966, Tommy James and the Shondells, that song, I Think We're Alone Now. That song was played like prior to at some point, but then it went away and they couldn't hear it, right? And somebody found the track in the trash can outside the studio. They're like, oh, what's this? They brought it back in. They gave it to the jock. Guess who played it right then? And it was all of a sudden another hit again. Like later.
Well, there was that happened for a while through the 80s, and then actually in the 80s, it started to change because radio became a lot more corporate in
sure,
the 80s.
Sure.
It started. But like even there was a song by Donny Osmond in the 80s. Soldier.
You remember
Love.
My old neighbor.
Soldier of Love, I believe, was the name of the song. Yeah. And some disc jockey, I forget the guy's name, from LA played it. And he said it was a mystery artist because he didn't want people to hear Donny Osmond thinking, oh, Donny Marie, the Osmond brothers, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like they didn't want them to have preconceived notion of what the song was going to be and turn it off. He played it for, I think, about a week or so of just as an anonymous person, and then they brought him in to the studio, and they played a game like, who is it, you know, guess who it is, and then it was Donny Osmond. But it ended up being a hit because of the way it was. The DJ, you know, he drove it to a point to where somebody was like, oh yeah, I like this song, I'm not going to judge it based off of Donny Osmond. And that's the type of stuff that I mean, that was a perfect example, like you said, with I Think You're Alone Now. But because there have been a lot of songs, which is crazy too, that have been redone, that have been remixed, that have been either brought back to life. I mean, it's just nuts. Like, I'll give you an example. Like in 1990, I was looking at this. You know, you talk about the Righteous Brothers had one of the top hits in the 90s because they were. It was what was it? It was.
You've lost that love and feeling or something.
Yeah, I think it was that. No, it was, I had time. Yeah, it was one of, it was something that was in a movie. So what happened is that they recharted because it was in a movie.
Right.
And so, right. So that it's just how it works. The same thing with like, so going back to like how the disc jockey had such a huge influence on what we listen to and how we listen to it, that I still think that there are songs that maybe you and I like that we might not like today. And the reason is because we had to listen to it. We didn't have the forward. We didn't have the, it's just not even going to come up in our playlist. And then you listen True. Over and over again, and you just end up liking it because it's like it's repetitive. You might not have liked it initially, but you've heard it a billion times. So now it's like, oh, I like that song. And now you go back and you listen to a song. This happened to me. I'll go back and listen to the song, a song from the 70s or the 80s that I was like, what the heck is this? I'm like, oh, this is a great song. And when I was a kid, I turned it off.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that too. Just last October, Halloween, Michael Jackson's Thriller from 1988, I think, somewhere around there. It went back up the charts. And so did Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Tim.
Yeah.
Things play again. I think you're right. This generation, and they're weird and they question everything, right? They got to have the facts. Where's the facts, right? When they hear a song, they're like, oh, that's an old song from 1955 or something. But now they heard it, and then someone else passes it to the next friend, et cetera. And then somehow it's in your television commercials, like you said, or it's playing on the radio, like this classic rock station I was listening to about Van Halen, because this Double Shot Tuesday, by the way.
Two for Tuesday.
So it's just funny how life works, you know. And
Unchained Melody is the Righteous Brothers from the 90s.
In the 80s, that song was like the number one love song for all, since the 60s. 20 years of the same number one love song. So, yeah, I get it. And I think it was in that movie, what was that, that baby, not but her name was Baby.
Right.
That movie.
Dirty Dancing. But I thought, I don't know if that was, or if it was, I think this might have been from the movie Ghost.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Because Bill Medley and Jennifer Warren did I Had the Time of Your Life for that movie. But I think this charted because of I could be wrong. I'm trying to use this noggin here. You know, as you get into your 50s, all that stuff you were able to recall in 2 seconds, you really got to go back into the file cabinets. And it's like the old person, like, going, like, all right, you got to go find it. So you can't recall it instantly. But I think that was. Go ahead.
I just heard this recently. It's talking about the 80s, and a movie that did influence me was Footloose with Kevin Bacon, right? And the Bacon brothers are like instrumentalists, rock singers now or something. But that movie was filmed in Lehi, Utah, which is south of where I used to live. And there was an old mill. I don't know if it was the old mill. It was a mill made flour and whatever. But they filmed that movie there. And Utah's trying to get Kevin Bacon to come back for the 40-something-ish anniversary to dance in front of the old mill for that scene that he did in the 80s movie.
Wow. Yeah, that was, you know, you look at it was in that movie. I mean, John Lithgow, who has had a very interesting career, you know, in that one, he would have thought he would have been like this, you know, crazy, you know, he's played crazy parts, he's played comedic parts. I mean, he's played a transvestite in the movie The World According to Garth, or Garp, with Robin Williams. So this guy has done a lot in his career, which is crazy. Diane Weiss, who is the mom in that one, I mean, she's done a bunch of stuff and still has, I mean, she's still, you still see her from time to time. And then, I mean, obviously Kevin Bacon, but like Sean Penn's brother, he died. What's his, he was in that movie, and he passed away about, well, I want to say 8-9 years ago now. But like Kenny Loggins, okay? So Kenny Loggins was Mr. Movie Guy, in the 80s. I mean, he was doing all the movie themes. And it's funny because Kenny Loggins is still on tour. And I saw Kenny Loggins a few years ago, but I also see him come up in social media a lot. And he's still doing stuff. And I mean, when the new Top Gun movie came out, he wanted to redo Danger Zone, but I guess Tom Cruise was like, no, we're good. We're going to put you in the movie again, but we want to go out and keep it the old one. But
there's the dump. Still a dump, like some other people we know around here.
Yeah. So anyway, so it's just interesting to see how that, like you said, all that does go through and with all the, you know, with going back to the disc jockey, where how it's important now that you realize that now music is done differently. Spotify, like anybody can be an artist, and it's not, the disc jockey has absolutely nothing to do with it. If I've got a song and I can get some social media following with it, or get it picked up in the algorithms of TikTok or Instagram or whatever it might be, or on Spotify to get it in people's playlists, now that's the new thing. It's like, you have to have it's almost the virtual disc jockey of trying to get your music in front of people. And it's got to be good, too.
I've noticed a lot of things coming through Facebook that are new songs or singles from somebody you don't know, some name, unknown person. Hey, check out this new video. And it's like, there's a number, please call this number to, I don't know if they're voting for it or what, but it's so crazy. But yeah, unknowns, and they're getting airplay on their.
So when we had our radio station, so this was what, we were like 2017, 18, 19-ish, I think is when we were. Yeah. And when we were doing it, because I was trying to get us to be popular, I put our radio station everywhere around the world, on every place that I could do, you know, like
I know.
Every streaming service, whatever I could do. Well, I still get emails from people across the world, not necessarily the United States, but sometimes submitting me songs for airplay.
Really?
Yeah. I still get these songs. Hey, could you please put us in your rotation? I'm like, sure. If I still had a radio station, I'd put you in rotation. So that way myself and CBK could listen to it, since we're the only ones who listen to it anyway.
Exactly. But remember, there was that bot in Germany that was...
We had a
German bot.
Some bot who is loving us. We're number one with the bots in Germany, let me tell you. Number one. But, I mean, you were that... It was crazy because I remember you would say that you would just leave it on in the background. So we would get, like, you'd have it being played all the time.
And I left that thing going overnight and... River, the radio guy, was sleeping on this couch right here, and that thing was on.
Yeah, back in the day. And then we'd have, like, I remember we were doing it, and then it was just get, like, we're doing it every day. We're doing, like, because I was actually talking to some people at work about radio. I was telling them about, like, voice tracking. And believe it or not, most people don't realize, because even on XMs, even on Sirius XM, which is popular and whatnot, you'll hear like the 80s on A channel. It's like Mark Goodman, and you hear him,
right,
or Alan Hunter, you know, and you'll hear them talking. You know, they brought all the VJs in, and now they're DJs, whatever. And I'm like, that's not live. I go, that's not live. They recorded that a day ago or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I said, so I challenged everybody. I said, listen to what they say. Will they talk about some current events? Yes, but they won't talk about something that's going on right that moment. In fact, the only time I've ever heard them do anything, and still a voice track, is if somebody like big in rock and roll were to die. Somebody, and it was like big news, and I'm trying to think of it, they would cut a voice track so that way it was going to play pretty, but it's not live. They're not saying, all right, we're going to put you live in between, you know, the Jump, Van Halen, and you know, Genesis. No, they said, record this, and then we'll put it in here in an hour. And so I explained to people what voice tracking was. They were like, really? I go, yeah, that's not live. I go, it's like the old TDX or Memorex. This isn't live, it's Memorex. You know, it's the same thing, it's all recorded. And it's amazing to me how people don't understand that. They still think that, I said, they go, what about on my radio in the car? I go, well, that's like a morning zoo, a shock jock or something like that. There are still some morning zoos out there. Those guys are probably live. I said, but then when it switches to music, there's a good chance that those are all voice track. And then you know what? I said, there's a good chance that that DJ isn't even here in the Vegas area or even in the Chicago area. They're somewhere in Utah in the middle recording it for LA, for Seattle, for, you know, wherever it might be, because that's what they do. People don't, they were blown away, CBK, blown away.
Wow, crazy. It's funny. Sorry, I'm trying to plug in my phone here because I'm going to be losing battery. But this KLOO station here out of Albany, Corvallis, Eugene, Salem, or whatever, I've noticed in the morning, it's a classic rock station, but it's not just, you know, the Styx and the Van Halen, and then they're playing some early 60s stuff. I think I heard Donovan the other day. But the whoever, there's like this one woman's voice. I think, I don't remember her name offhand, but I think she records something, like you said, prior, and then it goes on the air. She does like a music trivia minute or something. But then at 4:30 p.m., guess what's replayed? The same thing I heard from this morning.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's only one, I want to say one lady. And I think when I first moved here, I emailed her, like, hey, you need any help? Because there is some weird, I mean, I'm into the news. I listen to KXL up in PDX. But south of me, I'm in Albany, so south is Eugene, and they have, like, I think they have a 104.7, I don't know, a station that plays pop hits and rap hits, and I think there's a classic 99.1, and they play, like, old hip-hop stuff from Run-DMC, you know, and maybe some Eminem or something here and there. But the station, there's no news station down there. I think there's an AM station, but I don't even get here. I'm too far. I'm 2 hours away from PDX. So I guess I'm out of the range. Right. But I remember when I was in KODJ in Salt Lake, my parents were driving through southern Utah. That's over 100 miles south, and they still heard me. So,
well,
maybe it's too many trains around here.
So the history of radio, you know this, and me being an avionics guy when I was in the NAP.
Right.
The history of radio, AM radio, they used to have a ADF, they called it, on an airplane, and it was actually an AM radio. That's all it was. It was just different, a little bit different frequency. But they could still tune in. They still had it just enough on the band to go back and tune in an actual radio station. So sometimes the pilots would be flying and they'd be bored and they'd turn the ADF on so they could get like an AM radio station. But the thing is that if you remember, I mean, for people that, you know, anybody who's younger than us or you know, whatever, I mean, a lot younger than us, why do they do a station ID? A station ID was FCC required at the top of the hour. And the reason for that is because of AM radio. And if I am like, I'm trying to figure out where I'm at. You know, at the top of the hour, if I get a radio station, is going to be KODJ from Salt Lake. Oh, I'm somewhere near Salt Lake. Or
right.
And so that was a requirement. I don't know if it's still a requirement. I mean, all the stations, even TV stations, were required to do it for a long time. They have to ID themselves at the top of the hour. I don't know if that's even a requirement anymore. But to your point, why you could hear AM so far. Because you could. In fact, sometimes you get this atmospheric stuff where the signal will bounce. And sometimes, like, I could tune into an AM radio station. Like, I was in, and a lot of times it's at night. And something about, I forget the exact, at night it goes a lot further. And
right.
And so I remember when I was in the NAV and I was in Memphis, and I really wanted to hear a Chicago Bulls game, and it wasn't on TV. I tried to get the AM radio station. I barely could hear it from Chicago in Memphis at night. Just a little bit. So, yeah, I think So just, it's crazy how that's changed, and now they're going to get rid of AM radio.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. And I thought that that was, I don't know if it was went to the Senate or something to be ruled, because I heard it's still there, but then I heard again, maybe it's not. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's still there. AM, but it's like the cars. The car manufacturers are going to stop putting them in cars. Now, I don't know if they like said no and made a law. No, you have to put it in there. I'm not sure, but I know they were going to stop doing it because they're trying to, there's only so much room in it. And then if they have to put an AM radio on in a radio system, they want to put more Bluetooth stuff. They want to put more USBs. They want everything because everybody's going to use their phone. They don't want to. I mean, seriously, I'll be honest. I can't even remember the last time I turned on the AM radio. Maybe one time when I saw that flashing thing on the road. Traffic alert. Go to 1640 on AM to see what it is. Maybe. And I couldn't even find it then.
Yeah, all I'm thinking about what you're saying is, you know, these new cars, especially these electric cars, the display, Tim, is ginormous.
Right.
Right? And there's probably some XM station going on, or that's what they want. They want, like, TV and video, and all you got to do is sit back like this, the car's going to drive. That's going to be watching ER or something.
Well, that's just it. That's just it. I mean, you go back to... You go to Back to the Future and you look at like from like 1985 to 2015, we were supposed to have flying cars and stuff. There has been, it was kind of crazy. And they did a video about this, I'm sure it's somewhere on YouTube, where it showed some of the things they got right, like in their prediction for 30 years ahead. I mean, like they showed where you walked in like to the 80s cafe and then that there was a robot taking your order. I kind of like a video, and there's like they show like you now type in your order. I mean, it's not exactly like that, but it's like you go to McDonald's, you don't have to talk to the person; you just type in your order, and some of the virtual stuff that's still there. But like we don't have the flying cars yet, but that's coming. The drone technology is being expanded to vehicles that people are going to ride in. So you're going to get in. It's probably 10 years, maybe 20 years away where it'll be commonplace. Where you get in, you close the door, like, boom, you press a button, say, I want to go from here to here. And it'll just ring and drop, you know, like almost like the Jetsons a little bit. But it's coming. I've seen the technology. This is not science fiction or science fiction. It is coming.
That's amazing. And you say the Jetsons and, I think of that theme, and they haven't made a movie about the Jetsons yet. Come on,
that's a good point. Maybe we need to do it. We'll start writing it. We'll pitch it to a studio, so that somebody can steal it. But
I mean, I've seen those, you know, those fan based things that, especially with Star Wars and those kinds of things. But yeah, it's just to me, it is incredible. It's the technology. From music of a small little dial radio, you know, back in the 20s or 30s, compared to this thing is obsolete right now. You know what I'm saying? And now it's all Spotify and make your own playlist. If I want to hear some Beatles, all I type in is Beatles, right? And boom,
you get the whole library. Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And so I think it's pretty interesting because. In that regard, you know, it does. Technology is not all bad because we were able to do what we were able to do. I mean, think about it. Even for 3 years, we ran a radio station. Think about that. Think about that. I mean, it was a virtual radio station, but we would have never. So the tech, and even like the stuff that we're doing now, we just boom, let's call, boom, bring in, here we go. Now, I do happen to have a studio, which have all that technology, but in the end, it's like it's made it affordable. It's made it accessible, and so it has its positives, obviously. But some of the negatives is that you've lost a little bit, I think, of the culture or if you want to call it just a character of the medium. And without having a disc jockey, I mean, people say, well, the disc jockey it was just noise, anyways. A lot of times, some respects, yes. But in other respects, they were part of the entertainment package. They were actually part of the music. The music was entertainment. the guy talking or the woman, not, you know, whatever in between, and then the music. It's part of it. It's part of, like, I know that I still sometimes enjoy listening to, I'll call it old time radio, like on Sirius XM, where you'll have the DJ or come through and say, just talk a little bit. It doesn't bother me. I actually don't not like that. I mean, it doesn't make me upset to hear that, because I know I have the choice. If I want to go in my car, I'll just turn on my Spotify or whatever, and then I can have the choice. So, but I still do miss that. I do.
It's funny you say that too. It makes me think there is a radio station somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know if it's on the coast, but it's called KY. No, that's Gary Moore. That's a San Francisco based station that I'm a friend with. KHJ out of LA, the Boss Jock Capital. That's where they came from, right? I was a part of it this much. I was a part of it because Ron Jacobs started KHJ in 1960s in L.A., and that's where Don Steele, Machine Gun Kelly, Charlie Tuna, Robert W. Morgan, all these guys came from, the West Coast jocks. But today there is a KHJ here in Oregon, and I've heard it on this station, this radio, actually. And they are doing some old jingles from the past, like even some cigarette jingles, which you don't hear anymore.
Right.
But they're playing the music of the 50s. I've heard Freddie Boom Boom Cannon numerous times. When's the last time you heard him ever, right?
When I was listening to CBK on the radio in the ship, that was probably the last time I heard Freddie Boom.
Yeah. And he's an old jock. He's still around, thank the Lord. But and he's somewhere in California living. But he's everybody's aging. The Stones are, you know, over in 70s, 80s years old, and they're still rocking
for the tour. Do you know who's their number one sponsor of the Rolling Stones tour?
I don't know.
AARP.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. You get a discount to the Stones tour if you're an AARP member.
Unbelievable. God, that is nuts, man. Nuts.
So.
Anyway, I had a question when I was listening to that station. I'm like, how can they play old commercials that they don't even hear that anymore? They don't have that product. Spearmint gum or whatever, right? But it's in their rotation as a normal today to 2024. You know, I'm blown away. And I meant to ask, I did make a Facebook comment, but they've yet to respond. So I'm not sure who runs them or who it is.
Robot. It's probably all AI, man.
I wouldn't doubt it. You're right. Yeah. Crazy.
Well, cool. Right. Well, let's we'll call this one a day right now, and
okay,
this is fun.
Yeah, it's amazing.